Zone Radio.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
We're back again, and some people probably didn't want us to come back. They go, dang it.
Maybe.
Dang it, the Ronies are back. What a weird show.
Hence the name Rony Zone Radio.
Welcome to Rony Zone Radio with Jeff Rony and...
Colleen Rony.
Awesome. It's beautiful.
I'm really not awake tonight.
I know. It's kind of tired. But there's another podcast I listen to. Shh. Stop it. There's another podcast I listen to. I won't name it. Where the guy, for the most part, always talks about how tired he is.
Oh.
I mean, just, you know, you're tired. Don't. And see, now that's the thing. I've been listening to a lot of different podcasts about how to do podcasting. You know, and the one thing they say
is kind of funny, but go ahead.
Don't do a podcast and like whine for 30 minutes.
No.
You know, I've listened to 20 throughout my podcast listening thing where people will moan and cry to get email like me. Okay, I'll admit it.
I think we need a new tack this week.
Okay.
No email. Don't send us an email. We don't want your emails.
Right. Yeah.
Reverse psychology.
I understand. Okay. So, but anyway, it's kind of funny that there's so much opinion out there. How long a podcast should be, what you should talk about, all these. It's just funny that, like, there's a standard. It's interesting. And yet I've heard podcasts, of which I won't mention, they're just not good.
Not as good
all.
As you'd like them to be, yeah.
So, but... It's funny. Some people out there, when they talk on their podcast, that it's like Shakespeare or something, you know. So anyway, you know, I'm a yucklehead. I try and do good interviews. You know, I mean, I'm trying to do something good.
No, I think
but I'm also trying to be me.
Well, I think that's the most important thing is you are who you are, and you know what, that's who you should be.
Yeah, but people like you, and I just want to.
Oh, that's
let
nice.
You know.
That's
yeah. Because nice. You bring another edge to it.
Yeah, well, when I'm a little more perky, and maybe as the show goes, I'll get a little perkier. But...
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
And now, on to the spotlight.
Rony's on the radio.
Spotlight.
And welcome to the spotlight. I'm trying to be a little more up now.
Woohoo, me too. Right. Oh, yay.
Now, this spotlight, we're going to talk about something that we all have, pretty much.
Most people have. I wouldn't say
okay,
all.
A lot of people
yeah, most
have.
People now have it.
And how to use it for your benefit and not really, because a lot of people, I don't think, understand how to use it. We're going to talk about camera phones. A lot of people have camera phones.
Yeah, and I would say they probably know how to use it, but I don't think they think of what you're talking about is really more, what are some...
Right.
Creative so, and yet beneficial uses of the camera phone.
True. Now, I mean, what I am saying is, for instance, taking a picture of where your car was parked.
That'd be good.
Okay. Now, I saw this on a website called callforhelptv.com. It mentioned this. And then there's also a link to the page that... I'm going to put on the show notes. And I'm not going to read them all off, but that was one of them. And
that's actually a good one, actually.
Another one is that I think a lot of people forget that when they have a camera phone, they have a camera with them all the time. Some people know this, okay? But a lot of people, they just get flipped out. For instance, if you're in an accident, you know, heaven forbid, get in an accident, you have a camera there with you. Most people don't carry a camera a digital camera with them.
True.
But they do have a phone.
Right.
Okay. So you can use your camera phone to take a picture of the accident. You know, I mean, just things like that.
It's actually quite ironic. And I mean this very seriously because I had my nails done tonight and I didn't tell you this, but because I had a new set put on, they put tips on my nails where they normally would just fill in the back part. Well, she took everything off and put brand new tips on. Well, when she did, they're like 3-inch long nails. Mm. So I looked like I had bear claws. And I just kind of said, you know, if my husband was here, I'd kind of go rawr and scare him with the nails. And I said, I should take a picture of this and, you know, should show him. Mm-hmm. And she goes, you want to take a picture? And I said, sure. So they grabbed my camera. We got my phone out. And I actually have a couple pictures with me with these really long, because I was going to tease and say, oh, look, I got dragon lady nails. Mm-hmm. It was funny and it's kind of ironic. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing. It's the funny, weird things. You know, a lot of people take pictures of, you know, oh, this is a cute guy or their kids. And that's great. But yeah, I mean,
well, yeah, people take pictures of a lot of things. We're going to leave a lot of those alone tonight.
Yeah.
But what, you're right. I mean,
just something kind of a fun, you know, capture a moment that you would never be able to capture any other way. You know, that you want to show something. When we were looking to redecorate the bedroom, I had to go to the store and take pictures of the fabric colors mm-hmm. so I could determine whether or not it would work, the color scheme, the fabrics, how they would work together, that kind of a thing. So, I mean, it was just right. It was a really good benefit.
So the bottom line is you have a way to capture information and whatever that is. For instance, and this is, you know, off. It's not on the webpage that I have a link to. For insurance purposes, mm-hmm. who truly takes pictures of everything in their house, their television, the brand of TV, the model number of the TV, you know, any type of like really nice furniture or stuff like that. Do people take pictures of this stuff? No. And they should. And they should.
Well, I agree. Okay. That's more of a digital camera type of a thing, though.
Yeah,
but you know what I would tell you, though, to kind of go along with that I would maybe throw in? Because, I mean, honestly, if you're going to take it for your insurance company, unless you're going to email it to them directly, that's kind of, you know. But what you could do with your camera that kind of goes along with that line is if you're going to go maybe get new doorknobs for your cabinets mm-hmm. or if you're going to do whatever, you can take a picture of the cabinets because what we think of in our head and then go to the store and try to match frequently doesn't work. So you take it on the go and then you look at it and go, oh, yeah, this would work. Mm-hmm. You know, because we all think we have perfect memories of what's in there. And I think if we were to take photographs of our living room and try to name off everything that's in there and then look at the picture, we'd be very, very off.
And that's another good one. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you another good thing, too, is that we were doing some remodeling. Mm-hmm. And so Colleen took a picture of what was going on because I was in another town doing mm-hmm. some training. And she sent that picture to me mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, through the phone. And I could see the way it was looking.
Progress. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of different uses for it. And I think people use the sending of pictures and that kind of thing or whatever. But anyway, try and think of ways to use your camera phone to help you instead of just, you know, oh, there's a cute baby or this is my whatever. Just try and think of it as maybe a scanner or some type of a capture device that can capture information.
Right.
That's going to be helpful to you. So anyway, the camera phone is your friend. Use it to your benefit.
Very good.
Okay, now we're going to introduce probably the most amazing find in my life thus far. Hmm. There's a gentleman named John Cosper. Mm-hmm. And he is a writer. Mm-hmm. And he's a Christian. Mm-hmm. And he loves pizza. Hmm. Well, he likes pizza.
Okay.
And so I want to introduce you all to John Cosper. Welcome back, everybody, to Roni's Own Radio, and I am privileged to have John Cosper with me on the phone.
How's it going?
And we're going to talk about a couple of things here. John is involved in some really incredible things, and I really want to give him a chance to share about that and also just kind of learn a little bit about him.
I was actually born in Miami, lived there for a number of years, went to elementary school there. After a couple of years, we lived in South Carolina, moved from there to Houston, Texas with my family, and then ended up getting stuck in Southern Indiana for the vast majority of my life.
Okay.
Went to a Christian school down there in Miami, got saved when I was in about second grade. And I think one of my earliest, most influential things in my life, my earliest childhood memory is my father taking me to see Star Wars.
Okay.
So, which I know it's big with you guys. Yeah, it was probably 77, 78. A couple weeks later, my mother got quite alarmed when she went to the nursery to collect John Cosper, and there wasn't a John Cosper, but there was a Luke Skywalker that she could take home if she wanted. Yeah, that kind of onto writing and theater and everything. And I guess, like I said, I ended up in Indiana, and right after I graduated high school, I was kind of searching around trying to figure out exactly what it was I wanted to do with my life. Ended up staying home, going to Indiana University Southeast, and volunteered as a youth leader. And through that, ended up being put in charge of the drama group against my will after I'd written a couple of scripts, and the youth minister decided that's where I belong.
Now that does happen usually in things like that. If somebody's breathing and someone's quite regular, they'll put you in charge.
Exactly. Yeah, the guy who was put in charge initially was too busy stalking his girlfriend, or seemed to be ex-girlfriend at the time. So he really wasn't putting the wholehearted effort they needed into that. You know, here I come along going, here, let's do this skit. Let's do this one. And, you know, Jim sits me down in his office one day and says, man, I'm putting you in charge of drama. And I said, no, I don't want to be in charge of drama. But, you know, it was funny because all my life, you know, I'd get going in theater someplace. Like in Houston, I got into speech and debate, and I was doing really well with that, and we'd move, and I just wouldn't get into it for years. And like my senior year of high school, finally got into a couple of plays, and, you know, after that, you know, I took a class in college, and it was an acting class. The teacher was just a total nut job, and I dropped out of that, and I was like, well, I'm done with that for the rest of my life. Let me go on and have a normal profession. But no, God obviously had other plans.
Sure. Now, it seems to me that you obviously have a strong faith, but you also love Star Wars, and I think you're really leaning towards really good acting and kind of going beyond, really going for excellence and all that. How do you put all that together, though?
For me, you know, the state of, you know, Christian arts and everything that are out there right now, because, you know, I do have a strong faith, and it does influence everything I write. And unfortunately, you know, I think it's a situation where there's a lot of money out there in the mainstream, you know, making films and stuff. If you have real talent, that's where you go. And, you know, they don't generally like to support, you know, things that are very faith-oriented or whatever. That said, there's been some phenomenal, to me, Christian films that have come out in the last couple of years.
Sure.
There was The Matrix. There was the movie Signs. A lot of people probably would like to argue me to death, but I saw one of the most amazing Christ allegories in the movie Bad Santa. And it just speaks to me, you know, God has, the Bible says that the evidence of God is out there. It's all around us. It's in nature. And God has revealed himself through nature. And I think he reveals himself through the subconscious of, you know, every person who sits down and writes, because the way Jesus really taught was through story. It wasn't through sermons. It wasn't through three-point illustrations. And it comes out all the time, you know, the need that we have for a Savior, the need for how we have to be saved. I'm a huge fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Firefly, anything done by Joss Whedon. And the Christmas episode of Buffy that he did, it was one of the most beautiful pictures of redemption and forgiveness that I've ever seen, even though it was written by a guy who was a very outspoken atheist. It was just a beautiful, it was one of more Christian, you know, in its nature and delivering the Christmas story than a lot of Christian things that I've seen. So,
well, definitely you touch on a point. Paul talks about it in the Bible where those folks were worshiping an unnamed idol. And
right.
he was pointing it out. He goes, you're worshiping God. Whether you realize it or not, these films that are written by what we would consider non-Christian people, actually just because they are putting these themes in there, they're actually pointing to God.
Right, and, you know, the one book that influenced George Lucas the most, Hero with a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell. Campbell was another atheist, but he basically looked at every world religion and looked at every mythology, every culture that had stories to tell, and every single one of them told the Christ story. You know, no matter how far removed they were from ancient Israel and where everything took place, you know, we have this inherent knowledge of, you know, we are simple people, we have to be redeemed in a certain way. It's pretty amazing to me that it's out there. Whereas back in the day, it came out through the myths and the stories of gods and goddesses. Now, mostly I see it coming out through sci-fi and everything from The Matrix, The Day the Earth Stood Still, even Mom and Dad Saved the World. Kind of has a Christ allegory to it if you look for it.
Some of those movies, I think you're one of the five people that have seen it. So I commend
you. I've got
a
lot of those on my shelf, yes.
Now, let's kind of get back to my question. As far as church folks go, they feel, in my opinion, that the only way that you're ever going to reach people is invite them to a Billy Graham crusade, invite them to church where they can hear a message in a preaching format. And what I really appreciate about you is that you are not afraid to use any type of art necessary to relay a message.
Yeah, I think it's actually George Lucas that said, you know, people look for their spirituality in movies rather than in the church because the church has lost something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's absolutely right, because we're expecting, it's like we're going to bring somebody in and say, listen to what this guy says, mm-hmm. and then, you know, take it or leave it. And we've lost a number of things. One, we've lost the ability to build relationships, and, you know, through relationships that Christ really redeems people. And second is our ability to tell stories. You know, if I were to sit down and tell somebody who's living a simple lifestyle, you know, this is wrong, and this is where it says in the Bible that this is wrong, and, you know, hearing, you know, they just wouldn't listen to me.
Right.
I know the story I was looking for. It was the story of Nathan when he goes to King David and tells him the story about the shepherd with the sheep. And
mm-hmm.
David says, well, whoever stole this man's sheep, you know, bring him to me and he will be punished. And Nathan points out it was you who stole the sheep when you stole Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's the way to communicate to people.
What I think is fascinating is that Jesus, whenever he was sharing with people, he was out of the synagogue.
Right.
He spent very little time in the church. He wasn't on the board. Mm-hmm. He wasn't on the committee to choose carpet color. He was out really talking to people and
right.
sharing those stories and sharing this. And again, that's what's pretty fascinating about your different writing and your different things, is that you're trying to express God in everything as much as you possibly can.
Right. Yeah, I always like to point out to people, you know, Jesus never won an argument. He got mm-hmm. in a lot of arguments, and I don't think he ever won a single one of them.
Mm.
But, you know, it was through going out and telling the stories and communicating with people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've really been blessed, you know, with the opportunity to, you know, have a platform through my writing, you know, be it through, I've written, hundreds of skits, you know, for different churches. And people come to me with everything from, you know, we need a good, you know, Christmas skit for the family, the homecoming, just to tie in the Christmas message. Some people have come with some really crazy stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a Father's Day, and we're also kicking off the building of our church. Can you combine the two of those into a skit? And I'll never forget the lady that came to me and said, I want 4 skits for a children's puppet ministry that will utilize my Dracula puppet. And out of that, the character Count Your Blessings was born. You know, it was just one of the worst puns I ever wrote. It's my father's fault for showing me Bullwinkle as a kid. But, you know, it amazes me. You know, to this day, I remember as a freshman in high school or in college when I had been writing silly skits and drawing movie posters of, you know, Godzilla eating the 7 dwarfs and everything when I was bored in school. And, you know, one day I'm sitting here writing this really just obnoxious, crazy skit or something like that, and I just realized I can do this for the Lord, you know? The wicked, crazy humor, the sixth sense of humor. God has a sixth sense of humor. He plays it out in my life all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really believe that it's a way to communicate to people. You know, sarcasm, I think, is the language of, you know, the young generation especially, you know? And my goodness, if it doesn't come out a lot in my writing sometimes.
On a personal note, I always felt that I was worried that sarcasm was a sin. So when I bumped into your site online, I said, well, there's at least 2 of us, so maybe we can make our case. Tell me how Righteous Insanity came about. Tell me about that.
Really came about, like I said, I was writing skits for the youth group. And that very first summer, the youth pastor said, you want to teach a workshop at youth camp, and I was like, sure, why not? So, you know, I'm teaching it, you know, 3 days in a row. I'm teaching sessions on how to do, you know, drama in your church. I'm handing kids skits, and I'm running Xeroxes for some of the youth pastors and some of the other skits that I've got. And youth pastor, you know, same guy, he goes, man, you should be selling those skits. I'm like, you think so? I was like, well, I need a company name. And the name of the booklet that I had put together was Righteous Insanity. Righteous because they were religious in nature, insanity because that's just the way I write.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the kids popped up and said, why don't you just call it Righteous Insanity? So the name stuck. It served me pretty well. People always remember it. My parents used to go to Chuck Swindoll's church down in Dallas, and I can tell you Chuck Swindoll loved the name of Righteous Insanity. But it began, you know, very quickly. I was writing for other people. I started writing for a church in St. Louis, and yeah, I've got a number of churches that come to me all the time.
Wow.
I try to get a turnaround time negotiated in a week, but there are certain pastors that know that I can do stuff within a couple of days. So I got one guy in Virginia that calls me up and then 9 o'clock at night, hey, I need to skip by 9 a.m. So,
well, that's pretty cool that people kind of get what you're doing. Do you ever get emails from people that just don't get it?
Oh, yeah. We've had some fun. One in particular, there's a skit that's posted for free on RighteousInsanity.com called Coffee in Christ. And it's basically, it's a portrayal of a church that I kind of grew up in that really turned into one of the most watered-down, seeker, oversensitive churches you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where they don't even mention Jesus' name on stage. And your worship leader's playing Paul Schaefer. It was just basically mocking that whole thing, you know, Jesus never watered everything down. Why are we doing it so much when people are starving for this gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I got a letter, email from a lady who just was really upset. And I can't believe you're just writing all of us off like that. And we're not all this kind of church and that. And we're, you know, the fluffy kind of thing like I was accusing her of. And
mm-hmm.
I told her, like, lady, this gets out there and, you know, judge for yourself. You know, he has ears, let him hear, you know. You know, look at it. If it makes you examine yourself and you see something wrong in yourself and you correct it, fine. If not, you know, God bless you. Go on. The fun thing about that was my writing partner, Sarah Elston Moore, I forwarded it on to her, and she took one look at it, the lady's email address. She looked up their church, and the list of sermons for the next 3 months at their church was the fluffiest stuff that I've ever seen. I'm mm-hmm. like, yep, we hit the nail on the head with this one.
Sure, sure. Is there a line between Christian art that is edgy and funny and blasphemy?
I'm pretty sure there is.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I've tap danced pretty close to it. I've done a couple of sketches where, well, one in particular that pops into mind is, you know, where I had Jesus and the disciples, you know, doing the limbo bar and playing the famous youth group game, Chubby Bunny,
mm-hmm.
all this kind of stuff at the Last Supper. And, you know, Jesus, like, some really heavy stuff's going to go down tomorrow, but let's play another game first. And really, the idea was just an illustration where there was a parallel scene going on with two kids in a youth group, and one of them was saying, I can't believe you're going to bail on our lock-in to go on this mission trip. And her friend goes, you know, when you look at the Bible, what was Jesus doing? Was he going on mission trips where you go and you surf for 2 hours and then you go lay on the beach, or, you know, was he out there serving? So,
mm-hmm.
I you know, I'm sure I've danced close to the line, and there's probably a lot of people that, you know, my stuff is just not for.
Mm-hmm.
But, to me, it has to serve a purpose, and there has to be a reason, and the way I look at it, instances like that, this isn't Jesus. I'm not putting this up and saying this is who Jesus is. To
right.
me, it's like, this is the Jesus we show the world. And honestly, that's how people make their judgments, is by the Jesus we show the world.
That's great. And, okay, now tell me about the Sunday school dropouts, how you met up with them.
Right. Sunday school dropouts is, it's this little couple that they're close by to us, actually, you know, here in southern Indiana. And these two, you know, it just take basically the kind of stuff that I do, and they just go even further.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just really obnoxious, very over-the-top, very in-your-face type sarcastic stuff. They came to me, and they're actually like, you know, we'd be interested in publishing this in your catalog. And I'm like, Jack and Gretchen Hall are the names. So I was like, guys, I honestly don't know who's going to pay for this.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were to sell it, they probably, you know, I can see, you know, 8 out of 10 people coming back wanting their money back on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's hilarious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very truthful. It's very much in your face. And they've had nothing but positive feedback. I get more negative comments than they have. I don't think they've
wow.
had any yet. But, you know, stuff on their site ranges everywhere from a portrayal of American Idol, the Christian person who sings good, but we do not idolize them.
Mm-hmm.
To, they wrote one right after Pat Robertson came out and said we need to assassinate the president of Venezuela, called Assassins for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Which actually reminds me of the old Burns and Schreiber sketch with the Reverend Holy Moly and his crusade against communism.
Hmm.
But, I mean, you know, basically we're a televangelist is raising money so we can put bullets in the guns to go out and kill the communists and the abortion doctors and anybody else who stands in our way. That's who they are, and, Jamie Bratcher is my acting partner with Righteous Insanity. She and I have gotten involved with them shooting video. So we've actually got a couple skits in the can. They've got one that's just really a hoot. It seems to be the most popular one on their site, called The Crap Skit. And basically every line in the skit has the word crap in it.
Right.
That being such a borderline taboo word sometimes with youth groups, and, you know, is it one we can use or not? But that's one that we've shot. We did one with a little girl who... her mother always telling her starving children in China would be happy to have your food, you know, that you're not eating. So she packs it up and mails it UPS, and of course by the time it gets there, it's all rotten and everything, and
right.
just hate the little girl for sending her the food, and a number of other really silly skits, and I've actually collaborated with them on a few things we're going to be putting together over the next year, we hope, and just to see where it goes, you know, just really try to push the limits of what people, you know, perceive to be Christian comedy, Christian drama, and just change the way we're speaking to people.
Well, I tell you, I do. You know, I know I'm going on record here. I love a Chris Rock. I love a Dave Chappelle. Because
yeah.
there is time for in-your-face, clear reality.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of times where you want a Bill Cosby to tell you a little story and kind of laugh a little bit and all this. But sometimes there is time for just an in-your-face, just a reality check. And I read some of the scripts on there on Sunday School Dropouts, and it was the edgiest stuff I've ever read. I remember reading one about the Republican and the Democrat. And,
yeah.
Oh my gosh! I mean,
casting out the demon of the Christian, you know, who votes Democrat. So
right, and how it went around and said, well, you know, we're not making anyone get abortions, and the bottom line is Democrats feed the poor and all this kind of stuff, and I'm just like, wow.
Right. I mean, you know, and I think a lot of the conservative Christians would be shocked to know that the guy who wrote their favorite song, "Awesome God," actually is on record as saying, "I can't see how anyone could be a Christian and be a Republican." Now myself, I'm a very proud Christian Republican and everything, but I got a lot of good, you know, good-hearted Christian friends who are Democrats, and I completely understand where they're coming from. So.
Absolutely. Let me read a statement and just tell me what you think about it. Too earthly minded, no heavenly good.
If we're too concerned with what's going on around us, we can't be of use to God. I think the opposite's almost true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think there's a thing of getting consumed with the world and living in the worldly lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you shut yourself off in a church where you've got your gym, your racquetball court, your hot tub, and you know, everything in the world you could possibly need, you know, within these walls, you know, I don't see you doing any heavenly good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Great Commission was not go out and build big buildings and draw people in. You've got to go out and reach them.
Right.
And I'm starting to see and hear a lot more people, you know, talking and thinking that way, and it really relieves me,
mm-hmm.
you know, that there are, you know, Christian leaders who are encouraging, hey, you know, don't worry about coming to another program in this church. Go out there and, you know, and talk to the guy who, you know, makes your coffee at the gas station in the morning. And,
sure.
You know, the person who's waiting on you at the table. Because, you know, honestly, in this day and age, a lot of these people, you know, you can hand them little cards, you can hand them little tracks, you can do, you know, Jamie and I, when we travel on the road, we see little tracks at the, you know, the truck stop. We pick them up and we read them and we laugh at them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because in some ways they're funny, you know, the way they try to present, you know, and frighten you into, you know, loving God. But at the same time, it's not funny because people think this is real. You know, I went and put this in a truck stop. This is real ministry.
Right.
And, you know, it's not building relationships. It's not, you know, a lot of people are never going to set foot in the church and unless you go out there and you reach and you communicate to them, you know, which is what Jesus, I think, really intended, you know. I don't think you can do any good.
That's true. Now, as if you weren't busy enough, tell me about
Defiant Public.
Or Defiant, sorry about that.
But basically, like I said, Sarah Elston Moore is my writing partner. She does a lot of drama writing, but she also does some fiction, and I've got the same thing, and it's like, well, we need some place where we can put all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it just became a repository for us to throw our stuff out there. There's a lot of my stuff. There's a lot of hers. Mostly short stories. Actually, pretty much all short stories. I do have a link to a novel that I've written that you can buy through Cafe Press. We've had another author recently, Natalie Gilbert. He's got some really interesting stuff, but it's a wide range of things. Some of it's just straight, you know, dramatic fiction, very autobiographical in the case of Sarah and also Natalie. For my part, it's everything from, you know, just crazy, demented, twisted sci-fi to, you know, some really in-depth, you know, kind of make you think type stuff.
Well, let's see. Now, tell me a couple of stories when you and Jamie either perform skits or do workshops. Tell me some of the feedback that you get from either the congregants or the people that are involved or what.
Feedback has always been very good. People really enjoy, you know, this is the kind of stuff we do. Basically, some of the stuff we do, we do teach acting workshops.
Mm-hmm.
We found it's been very successful. People who have done the acting workshops have been able to keep a group going. Basically, what we do is we just try to give the kids a taste of what it's like to act, what it's like to learn how to do improvisation, and, you know, really, we're there for a day, you know, so it's up to them to kind of pick it up and run with it. And generally, if the kids catch fire with it and they really kind of enjoy it, then they're going to, you know, commit to it. They're going to make this, you know, drama ministry happen, you know, after we're gone. And we've seen that happen quite a few times. That's some very positive feedback on a lot of the plays we've done. A couple of the plays that we did the last few years have been autobiographical on all of our parts, those of you who have been in the group. A lot of stuff about dating and relationships and just some of the most unbelievable stuff you'd ever see. Sarah and I both agree that, you know, fiction is always, you can never approach what happens in real life.
Sure.
A girl that traveled with us, her boyfriend dumped her over breakfast the morning of her cousin's funeral, you know, which is just unbelievably devastating. You know, her 18-year-old cousin has just died, and her boyfriend calls her to an early breakfast so he can break up with her after he's been up all night doing, you know, God knows what. And, you know, of course, terrible, horrible tragedy for her, but it made just absolutely wonderful comedy once we put it on stage.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, Jamie often gets, she loves to say that, you know, without me, without her, I wouldn't have anything to write about because, you know, her own live life exploits has, you know, provided a lot of material. We've always found, you know, the hardships that I've been through in my life. This one play we did called The Wish came out of a time when I was unemployed and I was really struggling to make ends meet. And the play is about not worrying about when you're going to get that job and when you're going to be back on your feet, but, you know, where can God use you right now, right where you are? And it was amazing how out of that really hard time when I was really struggling spiritually and personally, you know, I was able to write this play that, you know, it communicated to the audiences when we went out and performed it, you know, and kids really got into the message of it. But the neat thing was when I actually showed it to Jamie for the first time, she started bawling in the first scene where the pizza boy comes to repossess her pizza because she at that time was going through a very similar phase, struggling to make ends meet. She's like, he's not going to take her pizza, is he? Oh, no. It'll be okay in the end.
What's the one thing about God that most people that aren't Christians don't know?
I think he's funny. Okay. I think that's probably that's the first thing that leaps to my mind. They've all heard that he's loving and that he's good and he's great and, you know, they've heard about judgment and everything like that. But I think the fact that there's a sense of humor, if people could know that, I think it would personalize him more. You know, that he enjoys watching us and he enjoys seeing us go through life. And he has a funny, amusing way of answering prayer a lot of times, you know. And if you just take a look, you know, Kevin Smith said at the beginning of Dogma, God has a sense of humor, just look at the platypus. The evidence is there, you know, that God is a funny person. And he creates this amazing, amazing creature called the human being that does some of the strangest, most bizarre, unbelievable stuff you could ever imagine. And I think the fact that God, you know, can laugh and he's, you know, pleased and he enjoys us is a big thing that, you know, it maybe would help people to appreciate and to realize, you know, a little bit more just what it means when we say that God loves you and that God wants to have a relationship with you and that God takes delight in us.
Well, I tell you, John, this has probably been just the funnest interview. I don't know when we can talk about God, Kevin Smith, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and The Day the Earth Stood Still in the same in the same amount of time. Well, I have to tell you, when I first came upon your site, it blew my mind. It was almost like it was my stuff, and because the thought and the creativity and the just the wider canvas of doing things was just really incredible. And I want to introduce you to the folks that listen to my stuff, and I want to point everybody that is listening to your stuff and your skits, and you know, hopefully, you know, you'll have a new audience. And we do want to work on some audio stuff of your work, and I know that you and I are working together on some scripts and everything, and I just I look forward to what's going to happen.
I'm excited to see what's going to happen too. It's been really neat to me the last couple of months. Every time we introduce somebody to Righteous Insanity, and especially to the stuff on Sunday School Dropouts, especially Bible college students are just eating it up. There's a lot of people that are kind of lukewarm in their faith, and they see this, and they really enjoy it, and they appreciate it, and they come back, and they read it. My girlfriend just is a total fan of just about everything that's come out. It's actually a girl I went to high school with. She lives in Iowa, and interestingly enough, call it God's providence or whatever, but she lives in Iowa City, and University of Iowa right there has a master's degree in playwriting that I would absolutely love to have. But you know, everything I throw out her way, she, you know, she's, you know, she's reading it and she's looking at it, and she's, you know, has, you know, just really sees, you know, a message that's going to communicate to a lot of people. You know, she lives in a college town where there's a lot of people, very diverse and everything, and a lot of different religions, and a lot of people who are really searching and seeking for answers, and has really, you know, shown me that I do have a way of, you know, communicating. You know, that's, it's not abrasive, it's inviting, and the humor, you know, really kind of brings across the point. And I do hope that, you know, the large focus in my writing a lot of the times has been about, it's been about pointing out hypocrisy in Christians, because I think that's just wonderful. I do it so much myself, I get so much material off myself, it's not even funny. But, you know, at the same time, I think if we can be honest about ourselves, that we can really communicate to seekers and to a lot of people out there who need to hear the truth. And if we're being honest about ourselves, you know, and starting up front saying, okay, this is who we are, we're screwed up, you know, then they're going to be more open to listening to what else, you know, I might have to say or anybody else who's doing this material.
I think it's interesting that a lot of the folks I think that we grew up around in church environments try to put on this real perfect persona that they don't make mistakes and they watch what they say and they watch what they wear and all this. And I just want to kind of end it up with this. I got an email from a guy who basically said, you know, I am a Christian. I haven't been living the way I'm living, and listening to you being as open as you are and different things really gives me hope that I can do it. And so that's really incredible that being who you are and using your gifts and, you know, whether it's writing about Godzilla eating the seven dwarfs, you know, and using those gifts to have a different funny way of looking at God and looking at ourselves, I think is an incredible thing.
Yeah. I think humor was given to us as a way of coping with the fact that we live in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pain. And sin just causes endless pain. But, you know, God wanted us to have ways of coping, and I think laughter is a way, you know, to deal with the pain and also to grow and to learn from it. And to me, it's just, it's so much fun what I get to do. And, you know, I tell Jamie, I tell Sarah, I tell Jessica, my girlfriend, all the time, it's like, I can't believe I get paid to do this. This is the greatest job in the world, and I absolutely love it.
Well, I thank you so much for your time, John. And I'm going to have links to all your sites, and we will we'll just continue this journey, and I'm hoping you'll help me out with little Tatooine TV stuff.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right. Now, I certainly would like to have Jamie on and whoever else on at some point that really just kind of want to talk about what they're doing. So you just kind of let them know. That'd be great.
I absolutely will. So oh. Jamie would love to talk. So.
Awesome.
we'll have to get her on sometime. She's an amazing artistic talent. She's got a heart for God and a love for youth that is just unbelievably contagious. So, a lot of stuff you guys can talk about.
Excellent, John. Well, God bless you, and thanks so much for everything, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for having me.
Take care, brother.
All right.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Here is the announcement. Because of John, mm-hmm. Tatooine TV is returning.
Now see,
that may not change your life.
Well, actually it does.
But, you know, maybe a few people that are listening, they're just going, mm-hmm. Are you, what, hey.
Right. It changes my life because it just means I'm going to be busier.
Yes, that is correct. Because Commander Pilates.
Yay.
You know.
I like her.
Yes. So, anyway. Meeting up with John really means there's a whole lot of work that is going to be coming down the pike. And I have to say that there's a lot of ideas that I just put aside because I couldn't finish it. To me, it felt like the Tatooine TV parody river had run dry.
Apparently not.
And it was Providence. You know, you just kind of meet up with somebody like this and he was very open to collaborating and working on stuff. And so there's a lot of ideas that I just kind of took out of the box, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, kind of put it back on the table. And it's really been an incredible working with him. So anyway, Tatooine TV is now here full steam ahead. And we have quite a number of things to go on that. So with the release of Ronin's Own Radio 27, we also will release episode 25 of Tatooine TV. That is not the final episode. It is just another episode. Okay?
Yay.
Also, True Tales is in pre-production. We will be releasing episode 1, but it's going to be in parts. So that's kind of exciting, too. That's another different type of a project. And I will say this here now, is that we are also starting work on another movie.
Yes.
It's called Solar Flare. Ooh, Solar Flare.
Woo! It sounds so sci-fi.
Yeah, I know. I know. So anyway, please, you guys, here's your opportunity to really see things differently and to expose yourself to somebody who is really good that you've never heard of. And you guys have given people chances before. And I really recommend that you check John Cosper's stuff out. Go to righteousinsanity.com. Go to SundaySchoolDropouts.com, which is Jack and Gretchen Hall. Also go to DefiantPublishing.com. That's John Cosper's sci-fi and Christian work there. And it's all very interesting, and I'm very interested to hear what you guys think about it. And you're going to be hearing a lot from him, and I'm going to be doing a lot of work with him. So anyway, very interesting show. A lot of things said, and we better...
A lot of things not said, too.
I understand.
Kind of very mellow.
We better end the show before we just start falling asleep.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very interesting.
Okay.
Although, you know, the snoring might make people laugh a little bit.
Okay. Again, we do not want any email now. Just don't send any email.
No, none. Emails. Don't even think about it.
Just please,
forget it.
None.
Never mind. We don't want to hear from you.
Okay. Until next time, this is Jeff Roney.
And Colleen Roney.
Signing off.
See ya.
Roney Zone Radio.